Hi, I'm Govindjayaraman, and this is Paper Napkin Wisdom. Today's episode is a special airing of a webcast that I did with Jack Daly. Jack and I got on a little while ago to share and provide a sneak peek about the Model the Masters Take Action workshop that I'm doing with him. It's the day two to a two-day workshop that we're launching as part of his sales training course. We give you a sneak peek as to what's going to go on at the workshop, and it was just the audio part. So you're going to hear talk about slides, you're going to hear talk about other things. You can see that at papernapkinwisdom.com. However, this is just the audio. And as is all things with Jack, it moves fast. So let's buckle up. You're going to enjoy this conversation with Jack Daly.
Their businesses and help salespeople grow their business. And I just want to tell you that I speak all over the world in the interest of helping those individuals and those businesses hyper grow their respective businesses. Well, I met this guy by the name of Govind, and we met, and Gabe, if you would go to the next slide, we met by virtue of Govind reaching out to me and saying, "Hey, my name is Govindjayaraman, and I do these podcasts on Paper Napkin Wisdom." And here's the essence of Paper Napkin Wisdom, and I from everything that I've learned, you would be a great contributor. And so I said, well, what the heck, let's schedule it up and make it happen. And so I designed a little bit something on the napkin and sent it off to him, and he did about a 30-minute podcast, and I loved the journey, loved the ride, and loved everything that went on, and I thought it was a great learning opportunity for anyone that would listen in to his podcast. Well, that evolved over some time, and I got to be friends with Gove, and we discussed things, and he said, by the way, I'm going to do a book called Paper Napkin Wisdom, and I said, wow, that's just an awesome idea, and we explored what the book would look like, and at one point he came to me, and I got all red in the face over the phone when he said, listen, I would love to have you partner with me on this book because you get this concept better than most anybody that I've talked to. And so I said, gosh, you know, it's pretty much your project, Gove, but I would love to be a part of the journey. And so that's where this began, and it began about a year ago for me. And over the past year, Gove and I have spoken many, many times. We've met several times in different countries even, and brainstormed and evolved into the Paper Napkin Wisdom Book for Entrepreneurs, and taking the best thoughts of people that have had tremendous success in their lives, in personal as well as business, and we've assembled literally thousands of these napkins to choose from, and bring it down to a workbook that we'll talk a little bit more about as we go along in our journey here today. And that then evolved to, wouldn't it be great to do a workshop, an all-day workshop on Paper Napkin Wisdom, and tie it into my one-day sales workshops? Because one of the things that's been frustrating for me is that these great things take place in my workshop, but too few people implement them. And so if we married the Paper Napkin Wisdom to my workshop on sales, then I think we'd really see some traction. And the workshops can stand independent of one another, or they can go together. And so we're going to do that as well, and we'll talk to you a little bit about that in the journey today. This is what I would suggest. Gove and I are going to go back and forth, and in the presentation, we're going to take you through the structure of the book and the workshops and give you meat along the way here today. And as if you have questions at any point, just send them in to us. Gabe is our producer, if you will, and he's going to assemble the questions as they come to him, and then we'll, if time permitting, we'll tackle those questions at the end of the broadcast today. My hope is that we get all the way through this in under an hour, and so we'll see how that goes. This is first time through. So with that, meet my good friend, Govind Jaraman.
Hey, Jack, thanks for that intro, and I guess where it starts with is a little intro about me. So where it began for me, I'm an entrepreneur. I've been an entrepreneur all my life. I say that I'm completely unemployable. I've never actually worked for anybody else. Started my first business right out of college, and then it just kept on growing. And over time, I'd grown this pretty successful business, and it got me an invitation to this Leadership Academy, Gabe, on the next slide. And this Leadership Academy is really for elite entrepreneurs. We gather in D.C., and what I thought was going in my life was that I had this successful business, and I was a successful person, I was a good leader, and here I was in this entrepreneurial elite crowd that I could learn from, and I felt really blessed to be there. But what shocked me was, as we peeled the onion on that I was totally out of control. My business was successful, but my mind wasn't right. I wasn't focused on the right things, and you can't tell it, but under the arrow, that's where I am. And at that time, my business was huge, but so was I. I was 370 pounds. I really didn't have a meaningful and deep relationship with my wife. I wasn't telling her the truth about many things that were going on in my world. I didn't have a meaningful and strong connection to my children and my family. And while one part of my life was going well, I was sort of playing whack-a-mole with the rest of it. And I got all these pearls of wisdom in these moments. And I learned about the structure of starting my day with intention at that academy, starting reading 10 minutes of great thoughts, writing 10 minutes of great thoughts, and thinking great minutes of 10 minutes of great thoughts before starting my day. And I'm a really distracted person. So I thought it was really simple for me to take all these pearls of wisdom that people were sharing with me and writing them down on scraps of paper, on paper napkins around the bar even, and I would get messages like this, the impact of vulnerability. And these messages would be shared to me by other entrepreneurs, other successful entrepreneurs. And I wondered to myself, hey, if I broadened my net and I went to some of the best entrepreneurs around the world, would they share with me these pearls of wisdom? And maybe along the way, I'd be able to pick up a magic wand that I could wave around my business and my life that would bring this great transformation for me. Well, I got that and a whole lot more because these key patterns emerged. And Jack talked about me reaching out to him. I reached out to others with Jack's help and others directly, and all of these hyper-successful people would share deep stories with me about how they achieve success in their business or in their lives or in all simultaneously. And what was really interesting to me is that virtually all of the 1,000 napkins that we got and hundreds of podcasts that we did, people would tell their stories evolving in the same sort of five-step plan, though few recognized they were completing those five steps in the same way. They actually even approached priorities in exactly the same way. Again, few saw it as a system, but they did it naturally. And they also systematically, categorically shared goals, the metrics for success, opportunities and challenges in almost an identical manner with their colleagues, their peers, everybody. They approached their high growth phases in the same way, time after time. They had the system that they deployed over and over again. And it was the same thing. You know, I'd think about it all the time. People who were successful could replicate that success and do it over and over again. How did they do that? Well, it was the structure that set them free to be able to do that. And finally, they had unreal flexibility and freedom in the areas of life and work that mattered most to them. And it came across all of this volume. And Jack, that's where the journey began.
Absolutely. So I want to talk to you about the workshops. So I do these one-day workshops on sales. I do one-day workshops on management, and they're buy a seat, and you can go to my website at jackdaly.net, and you can see where we're going to be this year in all places of the world. And people buy an individual seat to go to these events. The majority of my work is where I'm contracted by a company or a trade organization to do a keynote or a half day or a full day presentation with that specific company or trade organization. But we designed and we do about 30 to 40 of these one-day events. Some of them are two-day events where we couple the sales and management together. And on the left-hand side of this presentation, you see this page 42. Well, an awful lot of my workbooks are, we include a contract with myself. And that is where we capture what are the relevant things in your eyes in order to make today substantial return on investment of your time and money for being here. And so list those down. And I call it page 42 because in our sales workshops last year, it was a generic workbook that we used all year long, and it was page 42. Some people may be on this webcast, and they may have gone to one of my sessions, and it was page 39 or 54, but the concept is the same. And so what are you doing with page 42? What are you doing with page 42? Because the key is taking action. So now let me blend that over to the Paper Napkin Wisdom book. When Gove and I sat down and we looked at all of these napkins and the many, many podcasts that he's done, and he'll tell you how to take access to those podcasts as well here. But we ended up finding that there were five basic sections of themes that ran through these napkins. And so the book is designed, as well as the workshop that we'll be doing, is designed with these five themes, with each of the contributors and the themes, the things that we learned and the things we can do. And then we also threw in a bonus section. So let me tell you what the themes are. The first is we call secret weapon. And Gabe, you can stay back on the previous slide if you would. There you go. The first is secret weapon. The second is design your path. The third section is your playbook, and the fourth is your key players. The fifth is the heart, and then the last is life and business by design. Today, we're going to give you a taste of all six of those sections of the book, which is, in effect, give you a flavor for the workshops in hope that you might find an interest in there. Certainly take away today, but even deeper takeaway value if you were to join us in these workshops. Along the way of writing the book, then Gove came up with, well, I think we ought to have an app, and we ought to have a goal-setting app so that we can make sure that the people that are involved in doing this process of paper napkin wisdom and leveraging it can be prodded on to be reminded that, hey, are you making progress? What are you doing? Where are you going? And all of those types of things. So that's the whole genesis of this. We've created this one-day paper napkin wisdom model the master's workshop. We'll tell you more about that near the end of the presentation today. But what I'd like to do is go to the next slide and talk to you about the first section of the book and the workshop, which we call Secret Weapon. And this comes down to the first of five sections plus the bonus section, and it's all about, well, what does it take to be a successful entrepreneur? I built six companies from scratch into national firms and sold two to Wall Street. I built actually my first company that's not included in those six. Actually, I built my first one when I was 12, and by 13 years old, I had five employees, and they did all the work, and I kept 70% of the money. Well, I've been an entrepreneur my whole life. I know what it takes. I've also been hanging with entrepreneurs for the better part of three decades. And here is the slippery part. And that is this secret weapon, which we have a significant number of napkin contributors here. This is the soft stuff. It's getting the right attitude about life and about your business. It's about being disciplined enough to focus on the business and what needs to be done, and also on your personal life, because as Gove said, if one is out of balance, the other is out of balance. It is dealing with adversity. I have yet to build a business that has gone on to have success without it going into the proverbial crapper. There is adversity in everything we do in life. What is it going to take in order to push through the adversity? And the napkin contributors have shown us the way. That is the beauty. 50% or more of success in anything, inclusive of sales, is a head case. And so I like to say it's not an option, it's mandatory. If you don't have your head in the right place, then don't even begin the journey. Don't try to take on something that's going to be big in your eyes. So Rory Vaden is one of our contributors, a New York Times bestseller, wrote Take the Stairs. And, you know, I love the way he puts it. There is a price that success is never owned. And so you've got to pay your rent every day. And I like the way that that's focused on each day. And so Rory in his napkin takes us through the idea of the only way that you take these big things in life is to chop them down into small little pieces. I've got three marathons coming up next month, and they all happen to be on three different continents. And that's a 26.2 miles. I can't even get it out of my mouth because it sounds so intimidating. But the truth be known is I've never run 26.2 miles at one time because it mentally crushes me. And what I tend to do is I say I'm going to run a mile. And at the end of the mile, I decide whether I've got another mile in me. And every time I ask that, I've got another mile in me. And so I do it 26 times, and voila, I'm at the finish line. That is really what Rory Vaden is saying there for us. Flexibility. Gina Mulliken-Long, when Gina, the CEO of the Greatness Group, when she did her napkin, I love the part where she talked about if we are flexible, we control our power and our energy, which translates into more time to spend on the important. And so we learned this big lesson about having focus and yet at the same time having flexibility. So then we grab a hold of Matt Stewart, who has had tremendous success building two national size companies of significant consequence, a leader in the EO organization, and you know, he's the consummate marketer. You know, Entrepreneur of the Year finalist a couple years, and Small Business Person of the Year. Like, the awards are forever coming with Matt, and it's because he's got this inner marketer inside him. But what his napkin really, really brought home to us was the importance of listening. And the listening, in Matt's eyes, was you already got a grip on what you feel and what you know. What we need to be is great listeners. In effect, to harvest the information from the contrarian opinions out there. And that, I think, is a real key to a successful entrepreneur. Not to be so fixated on what we know, what we believe, but to bring others in. And that, indeed, is a secret weapon. We go on with another bullet point from Shep Hyken, current president of the National Speakers Association, New York Times best-selling author, and that is, there is no try. What Shep is all about is stick to what works for you. The message throughout all the napkin contributors in the secret weapon section of the book, as well as our workshop, is that the responsibility is that we own it. The famous motivational speaker that passed away a couple years ago, Zig Ziglar, would have put it this way, if it's meant to be, it's up to me. And so I say this, the next sections of the book and the workshop don't matter. The secret weapon is where it starts. If you don't have that, you can't even get out of the blocks. But if you've got it, now we want to go to Gove and talk about designing your path.
You set that up so well, because really these are building blocks. We learned this by looking at the napkins and listening to the stories and really understanding them. Everything built on the previous step. You couldn't go to step one, two, until you'd mastered step one. And the path is clearly, where are you going? And when sometimes we get in the middle of it, we can't even see the pathway through the dense forest in front of us. But isn't it amazing, though, on the things that we truly believe, on the things that we really understand well, the vision that we see in a crystal clear fashion, not only does it become obvious to us, but it becomes obvious to everyone around us what we're doing. And when we go through the story of understanding where this came from, when we understand this path, this vision, where it's going, where we've been, and we've got our mind right, we can learn the lessons that are shared to us by the contributors in this section. And in this section, we've got names like John Spence. John Spence has got a great reputation as a CEO, ran a Rockefeller company, and he talked about that you become what you focus on and like the people you spend time with. So where's your focus? And here's the interesting thing. The way he talked about we become what we focus on. What are you focusing on? What is that focus in the future? And everybody who contributed and the lessons that we brought to the forefront with these napkins really outlined that focus, that laser beam focus on that particular point. Rick Sapio, who runs more than 30 companies, multi-million dollars each of them, and he has a tremendous simple life, he does it by running things through what he calls a new profit paradigm. He says that the way that he is able to scale and articulate his business in every one of those businesses is juxtaposed around people, planet, product, and place. And then, so what role do you have in the community and driving a recurring revenue that model that also reduces variable costs? All that he explains in the new profit paradigm. He also talks about how you can use your core values as a filter. So when in the forest, when looking at designing your path, what are the filters that you keep around you to stay on point? Greg Crabtree, also a CEO, but not just a CEO of an accounting practice, but he gives accounting advice to elite companies from around the world, thousands of companies. He talks about how growth is not an addition thing, but a subtraction thing. What do you need to remove or give up to grow? And in his vulnerable story, he shares how, for him, it was clutter, comfort, and control. What do we have to give up as part of embracing the path in front of us? What do we need to walk toward? And he's saying that you need to walk away from something in order to walk towards something else. Ashton Gustafson talks about how when your core values are out of alignment or when a team is out of alignment, it's like an orchestra doesn't play right, and it sounds like noise. Well, if instead you could gather your instruments and let the music play, it's like a symphony coming together. Other stories in this section come from Roger Burke, who's a managing partner of an investment company who invests in hundreds of companies, but their filter is around whether or not companies are able to align around their purpose, where talent, need, and love intersect in that sweet spot, and be it in thought, word, and action. So when you're thinking about your company and building that path, what would the best blank do, and live that in the future. Pull your future into the present and find your purpose. And live your decisions in that way. Les Hayes, a successful entrepreneur in multiple companies, talks about entrepreneurial leadership and where we find it and how you continue to lead through that path. When designing your path, it's a model to help us think about from where we make decisions and where we need to show that flexibility. Finally, Jay Papasan talks about what's that one thing that we can do to line up our dominoes so that every other action or every other priority becomes irrelevant or unnecessary by its mere completion. Have you designed your path in such a way that there's one thing that overrides all the other things that you need to accomplish? And you know, Jack, I know this resonates with you because when you think about the image that, and anybody who's been in your audience can tell the story of when you pull up that picture of crossing that Ironman finish line with your arms overhead, that victory moment. Is your vision of the future so clear that you've got a picture that you can pull out of your back pocket anytime to align every one of your efforts and your team's efforts along that same line? That's the vivid clarity that you need in order to succeed in step number two, the path.
So the way I kind of look at what Gove just talked about in a more generic, general term would be the vision. Do you have a clear vision? Stephen Covey used to say, begin with the end in mind. You can't get to your destination unless you know what it is. And so when all of these contributors that we've labeled under Design Your Path, and by the way, there are more than those that Gove just went through. He just gave us a sampling, and each of these sections, we're just giving you just a sampling of the contributors and the information that we've learned from them. But once you have that vision, the next part is your playbook. And so if any of you on this webcast have heard me speak in the last year, you know that I'm running around the world yelling and screaming in my typical style about the fact that where is your playbook? And the bottom line, which is very sad, is this: sports teams are run better than most businesses. There isn't a sports team in any sport at any level that would approach their sport without a playbook. They would never put their players on the field without a playbook and without a game plan. But when I go into organizations and want to know where is your playbook, they look at me like I'm the man from Mars. Where are the systems and processes? You see, I started with the soft stuff. And when I talked about that first section of the book in terms of secret weapon, that is the soft stuff. Now we're talking about structure. We're talking about tracking. We're talking about things that get measured, get done. We're talking about things that get scheduled, get done. If you don't schedule it, it tends to not get done. We're talking about two words that are so far, and particularly in the sales side of the house, systems and processes, systems and processes. Now, it sounds like you're at one of my workshops right now that I do on sales and sales management, but quite frankly, every one of these bullet points on the playbook section of the Paper Napkin Wisdom is coming directly from the napkins of our contributors. It's all about preparation. It's all about practice. It's about the fundamentals. It is not the shiny objects. It is the fundamentals. I love what our contributor, James Clear, talked about. We're talking about the author of Transform Your Habits. His point was that goals, as Gove was talking about, well, they set a direction, but it's the systems that determine the progress. And as James shared his napkin wisdom with us, it was the concept of compound interest. Now, I've got a financial background education-wise. I was an accountant in Arthur Andersen. And so I get the whole concept of compound interest and with when I'm making my savings. And that's why we hear so many financial planners talk about saving when you're at an early age, because the compounding effect is so significant as you move on in life. Well, here is what we heard from James and his napkin, and that was the concept of just making 1% improvement day in and day out, 1% more progress towards your path, towards your vision. That compound interest effect that we see on the financial side of the world exists in the business side of the world as well. You know, the vital factors checkup, I loved Andrew Sherman, one of our contributors. He's a partner at Jones Day, a speaker, author. It was embrace your dashboard. That was his message to me. Embrace your dashboard. Key performance metrics in one place that you check regularly. And if we were to do the bullet points that you see on the screen here and the things that we'll cover in our workshop under your playbook, then what we're talking about is predictability. And that is a word that I love as an entrepreneur. Wouldn't it be great to have predictability? Anecdotally, I would share with the group that when we put together my personal goals prior to the year and my business goals prior to the year, and then the year takes place, it is amazing to people how close we are on every line item in the plan. But I like to say that once we've done the right work with the playbook, then we just have to wait for the pages of the calendar to go by, because it's that highly predictable. And gosh darn it, if something comes up untoward, we have the energy and the resources to go after it in a big way, whether it is a danger or whether it's an opportunity. So the playbook is instrumental. We got it over and over again from our napkin contributors, and that gave us the ability to then move to the next key ingredient in the eyes of our contributors of the napkins, and that was your key players. So go give us a little bit on that.
Yeah, so that's such a great segue, right? You know, when we think about some of the great companies around right now that have great teams, scaling companies, companies that are growing through at exponential rates. We're not talking about 10% growth, 5% growth, 8% growth. We're talking about companies that are doubling and tripling in size every couple of years. That predictability piece is so strong because one of them is Google. Google, the number one they measure, the number one metric they measure in their leadership team to predict success as a leader in their organization is predictability. They log everything about their team to know who is the most predictable, and that's because your key players, your team, and in order to truly work as a team, they require that predictability. So having a strong playbook that is executed against consistently gets you a team that those people, all those people say, man, one of the great successes of my life has been that I've been able to attract great people and retain them for long periods of time. And I've always wondered, how do you do that? How do you do that? Well, it's not that you can just jump a bunch of steps. You've got to go through the first three steps to step four and then get your key players to work with the team. And some of the stories that we heard about along the way is from people like Brian Scudamore, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And he says it's all about people. He's got this sign as it works as you walk into the headquarters for 1-800-GOT-JUNK saying that it's all about people. But he talks about in his napkin and the journey that came along with it with the podcast how he made that discovery. It wasn't a straight line. He came by it by making a mistake, by falling down on this and not quite getting it right. He had the other two steps right, other three steps right, but when he came to step four, it wasn't quite right. Then Adam Robinson, who himself has a company that is scaling very quickly, exponentially, has hundreds of people working within it right now, but beyond that, they help other companies hire thousands of people around the world, and he talks about hiring great people and then getting the heck out of their way. And there's a process to making that happen, and it's incremental. Again, Hank Green, people who are interested in video blogging know Hank and his brother very well, as they're very prominent video bloggers, and they run a great company. And he actually quoted Will Wheaton, and Will Wheaton's quote was, "Don't be a dick." Well, as employers and as leaders within our companies, sometimes we're often the hard person, the tough one, the bad cop. And his argument was, no problem, be that person. I'm going to get all of your best people to come and work with me because I'm not going to be a dick. I'm going to be a reasonable person with all of them, and I'm going to grow my company as a result. Brian Barreau, who shared that first napkin that I showed off the top, was the impact of vulnerability, and this was so amazing to me. He runs a very successful company, and he's talking about vulnerability. He was one of the very first napkins, and in the midst of me looking for this magic wand, I got that, and it was very difficult for me to understand. But what he was saying was that when we are vulnerable, we're credible. When we're talking about asking for the help we need, we actually get it, and that's powerful. Edith Varley, who has had a massive chemical engineering company, talks about how innovation creates value, strategy capturing value, but human beings actually deliver on that value. So if you don't have a structure to support your key players and nurture them, help develop them, you're nowhere. You're absolutely nowhere. And Eric Slaboff, who runs a large alarm and security company out in the West Coast, talks about how we all come with baggage. We all have challenges. But the challenge for leaders within organizations and leaders within groups is always to find people who will help us unpack, which goes back to that notion of the impact of vulnerability. David Nielsen even talked about, he runs another large financial services company out in the West Coast. He talks about how one of the ways that key players execute best is if you create a system and structure to make good decisions that can be implemented quickly. He talks about the time and the cost that's associated with indecision, the cost and time associated with not implementing things. And it's not just the hard cost, but the people cost, because you're not getting out of their way. you're not allowing those things to happen naturally, quickly, and scalably. Jack?
Yeah, so I love the transition of the section four, which was the players, and then coming over to the heart. I think that we had more napkin contributors that fell under the heart than anything else. You can have all the players you want. You can have all the talent sitting inside your business. And I'm talking about even if you are a single operator salesperson, I call that a business as well. So regardless of what position you are in a company or where you're at in your life, there is a support mechanism, a group of players out there that will facilitate you getting to your vision, to your path, to your next level. But here is what really came through, and that was you could have all the players, but you need to win over their heart. And for those of you on the broadcast today that have heard me speak before on culture, I say it this way: if you get the culture right, everything else will be easier. But if you don't get the culture right, everything will be that much harder. And so the question that we heard over and over being articulated by our contributors of the napkins was, what are you doing to win over the hearts of the players that you are relying on? Because if you win over their hearts, then pretty much get out of their way and let them go, and they'll make it happen. You know, John Rowland was one of our contributors, and we put it as a bullet point, the law of reciprocity. I actually like the way he termed it better than the law of reciprocity, but that is, what you appreciate appreciates. And so really spending time appreciating the people that are the players on our teams was pointed out by successful people as integral to their success. Christine Comerford, known by so many of us, New York Times best-selling author, several books, served on both the Clinton as well as the Bush administrations in terms of getting the most out of the people in the service of the presidency of the United States, author of Smart Tribe. The concept of the sprinkler of dopamine, if we end up generating good feelings throughout the people that work with us, that will lead to a level of excellence, that will lead to a level of incremental business and action in the interest of the designed path that you have designed. It's all about the person who's trying to get that vision completed to own this heart section. And yet, that most everything that the contributors talked about in this section, most of it was valued as extremely important, but not urgent, that you could overlook it, but overlook it at your jeopardy. I love the way Ali Mooney, one of our contributors, an award-winning speaker, talked about people being different. And we've all gone through the social styles, but I'd like you to just jot down her four styles, because I think that as soon as you hear the captured names of the styles as she has them, you can begin to put people that are players on your team into these four buckets. She has a bucket called playful, one called powerful, one that is peaceful, and one that is precise. So playful, powerful, peaceful, and precise. And anyone that hangs with me for any amount of time very quickly throws out the peaceful. That ain't applying to me. I'm a wing it in a large degree type of guy, so precision isn't the bucket that I live in. I think of myself as a pretty playful guy, but at the end of the day, I think where I am is powerful, and most people that have been around me from a particularly business standpoint, but I would tell you my family would put me in the same category, it would be powerful. I think most people, it's obvious. But the key is that knowing that people are different, are you getting the most out of the players that are on your team by adjusting your style, to be more compatible with theirs? It's our responsibility, if we want to get where we want to go, to adjust our styles. And so there's Stories Change the World and Gratefulness came out, but I'd say the real big thing that I got out of the napkins in the heart section was you gotta be passionate about what you do. You need to follow your passion, follow it with a purpose. If you're not passionate about what you do, you don't have a shot. And so pursue your passion, and the rest will take care of itself, and we've got it covered in the sections. So then we had these napkins left over, so to speak, that were so significant that Gove and I said, let's put a bonus section in here called Life and Business by Design, and I want my partner Gove to share with you a little bit about that.
So, you know, I think it's really amazing when we look at some of these messages that came in Step 5 about the heart, how incremental they are, that they build one on top of another. And the bonus prize is where we all want to be with this Life and Business by Design. And you know, we think about, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, it means that you are in an environment where you are making the decisions as to what happens in your life, that you have proactively decided that this is the way it would be best for your life to serve you, and you to serve your life, and you to serve your people, the people that are important to you in your life. But you're able to defend that because the structure is there to do so. And that can be a business by design, that can be a life by design, that can be a life and business by design. And as Jack identified earlier on, if you're a solo salesperson within a team, that's a business too. And what was amazing to me is that we all say, hey, yeah, I want that kind of freedom. I want my life to be by design. I'd like to set the rules for how I engage. I'd like to turn that switch on. But it doesn't work like that. It's not just flipping a switch. That's the penthouse. And if you're building a building with a great view, the greater the view, the longer you have to build the other steps, the bigger the progression. And it is incremental. You can't build a penthouse without building the rest of the building. You got to build the rest of the building, and the last step is that last prize. And that's why it is the bonus prize. And when we talk about the contributors and the lessons that came out of it, they were amazing. Some of the most impactful leaders we had contribute napkins, like Jack identified, had these amazing shares that came out into this bonus prize. One of them was Brad Feld. And Brad Feld has got a Techstars venture capital company, is CEO of Foundry Group, big VC firm, angel company. And he talks about how precious life is, and the time that we have on it, on this planet, is finite. Spend it on doing things you love, not that you like, not that you have to do, but that you love. And that fuels, again, it's incremental to what Jack was just sharing in terms of passion and purpose, being fired up about what you do. Damon Gersh, who's got by anybody who knows him, unbelievably scaling company, huge restorations company in the Northeast, growing massively every year, and has tremendous freedom in his personal life, but he'll talk about how much structure sets him free to get a life. His napkin literally said, get a life. It sounds simple, but there is so much incredible structure that supports that, and that was the powerful lesson that came from it. It was unbelievable how much complexity he had gone through, and there's a great quote that I wouldn't give a fig for simplicity on this side of complexity, but I'd give my arm for simplicity on the other side of complexity. He's delivered this great simple life for himself and for his family, but on the other side of this complexity where he's mastered the structure of his business. That's the lesson that we share here. John O'Leary, one of the most well-known speakers, also a man who survived a near-death experience at the age of 8, talks about what more he can do. What more can he do in the community? What more can he do in his life as a leader? as an entrepreneur. And he shares all of the structure that goes into that kind of thinking and the structure that changed his life. Michael Walsh talks about managing your energy buckets and that there are four of them, your physical, spiritual, mental, and emotional energy buckets, and that time management is a myth, but energy management isn't. And a life by design manages those buckets organically. And Heidi Hanna, the stress buster, she talks about it as the fact that you are your most valuable resource. Where are you on your tank? And she also tells a story about how peak athletes at all levels go through shift changes. Everybody's got a bench where they go through a shift change. They come off, but they don't come off when they're failing. If you think about a pitcher in a baseball game, they don't come out when they're getting hit home run after home run. They get taken out before that when their pitch count is hit. So how are you managing your pitch count? What does that look like? When you're designing that structure that supports your life and business, how do you piece that piece together? And that's all part of a life and business by design, right, Jack?
Absolutely. And you had already gotten the napkin and the podcast from my friend Damon Gersh before you and I ever had our first interchange, Gove. And Damon and I are just precious, precious, great friends. And I remember meeting him for the first time. He's from New York. His business is headquartered in Midtown, but I met him in Vancouver, British Columbia, at an EO university, and I was the keynote speaker. And Damon had seen me before, but he was in the seats and didn't come up and talk to me previously. But there he came and said, you know, is there a way that I can grab you for a half hour and just pick your brain? And we sat down, and he said, gosh, I'm so blessed with a great business, but I want my life to be so much more than what it is today. And is that something that you could invest in me and invest some time in to help me get there? I am going to tell everyone on this webcast, Damon lives a life that we would all be envious of and has a tremendous business. It's not one or the other. You can do both, and he's done it by design, and it's been just a joy to see how he's gone about it from the time we met in Vancouver. I like to think that I'm doing a pretty good job of that, and in fact, I solicit the world to help me with that. Go to my website. You'll see my bucket list on there. You'll see how I did last year. You'll see my goals for this year. And it's all about what I call living a life by design. And yet, when people come to me as entrepreneurs, as business people that are being pulled away from having a quality of life because of the energy they have to place inside their business, whether it is a salesperson or a business owner or a sales manager, one of the things that I very often do is make an introduction to Damon and say, I think you ought to talk to Damon because Damon was in a similar place. And then I meet you, Gove, and you tell me about how you had all of this weight on you, and then you got yourself sorted out. You were spending so much time on your business, and you really wanted time with your children and with your wife, and now that's sorted out. And it was through the prior five sections of the book that we really saw the progress take place. So big excitement here. Let me go on with a summary here. And Gabe, if you'll throw the next slide up there. If you have any questions you'd like to throw at Gove and I, now's the time to kind of send them our way. We'll do as good as we can. I just want to walk you through the summary section here for just a moment. We have a good many of the audio podcast with the napkin contributors, and it's there at papernapkinwisdom.com. Well, I would just encourage you to click in, find one that says a particular appeal to you. Go a little deep. I've been on the receiving end of the interview by Gove twice now, and I tell you, he does a tremendous job. His follow-up questions are superb. It was a great ride for me, and we've had tremendous feedback from the listeners. I also would
just
tell you
for a second.
Yeah.
And just for people who are interested in the podcast, there are two ways to get it. You can go to papernapkinwisdom.com, or you can search Paper Napkin Wisdom on iTunes. Either way.
Perfect. Thank you, Gove. My newsletter, Culture, Sales Management, and Sales, just go to my website, click on, if you're not subscribing, I'd recommend that I write it personally on a monthly basis. The Paper Napkin Wisdom book, just to give you a flavor for that, it's not available yet. We have yet to publish the book. It will be published shortly. It will be designed as almost a one-year workbook guide. And so if you will visualize 52 napkins having 4 pages inclusive of the napkin per napkin allocated to it, the first page being the napkin and the connection to the podcast, the next page highlights of the contributor's background, what their key points that they drove home in their napkin interview, and the two or three of the lessons learned, and then a kind of a summary description of what is in the podcast if you choose not to listen to it, and then 2 pages of provocative questions with room to doodle and answer them, so that our vision is that every week we would take a 30 to 60 minute allocation of time to work through one of the napkins and take action and implement it in our life. At the end of the year, drawing from 52 people that have enjoyed success, we would then be the recipients of all of that knowledge. And Gove, when I'm finished here, if you want to chime in, you've been on that receiving end with all the podcasts, and you can maybe give some testimony as to the value. But let me go on with the workshop. If you have an interest in attending, we've got some coming up shortly. They're on jackdaly.net/workshop-schedule. For being with us today, use the promo code PNW when you check out on your registration over the next 7 days, and we will discount your registration by $100. I would also tell you that if you think that you know people that would benefit but weren't on this webcast, go and pass that on to them as well. You can register today, and you will be getting a free copy of the Paper Napkin Wisdom book along with your registration, as well as the app when it's on the marketplace. And so that's where we're at. I'm open to having questions. And Gabe, as we do the questions, maybe we'll throw the final slide up, and that indicates where we're going and when on the next workshops.
Now, I just want to jump in on something real quick, Gabe, before you share the first question. You talked about the value of this journey for me. Remember, for me, I was very much going through these steps as I was learning the lessons. As I was having these conversations, I was going through that education. And the product for this, out of all of this for me, has been that picture that you had before of me. Well, I've lost more than 130 pounds. My businesses have grown. I've become more focused. I have much more time to focus on the things that I love in my life, which is my family and projects that really I feel are making a big difference, like Paper Napkin Wisdom. So all of these things are happening simultaneously, and I don't believe any of that would have been possible without the journey that I went through, going through these 6 steps personally.
Cool. Gabe, anything you want to shoot our way?
Sure, there's a couple questions. Ryan asks, are Jack and Gove both speaking at the Model the Masters workshop?
So we've teamed these workshops up with the Smart Selling Workshop. That's me all day. The Model the Masters is the Paper Napkin Wisdom Day. And that Model the Masters, I don't know what kind of artillery Gove would have to bring to keep me out of being there, but he better bring enough ammo because there's absolutely no way that I'm not going to be a part of this. It's too exciting. So
yeah, no way.
It's Gove and both Gove and me.
Yeah, you've got the two of us, and that's really exciting. When it's teamed up with Jack's sales workshop on day one, then it's themed up for sure.
Gabe, anything else?
Yeah, one last question here. Bob asks, I've already seen Jack's Smart Selling Workshop. Do I have to go to both days?
Bob, if you've gone, you don't need to go again. We've had people repeat over and over and tell me it was better the second time, it was better the third time, because you go at such a great pace. I was able to really resonate and understand some of the things in a deeper way. But there is no need to go to the first Smart Selling Workshop if you've already gone, or if you've never gone to the Smart Selling and you just want to go to the Model the Masters Paper Napkin Wisdom Day, that's free, absolutely you need to, you should do that as well. So they're independent, or you can go to both days. We'll be in Toronto as well as D.C., and that's just where we're headed in the immediate future. We see more of these coming down the pike.
Yeah, but Jack, let me jump in and say this, that nothing gets the fire stoked like Jack Daly. So, you know, there's a really unique opportunity with these two-day summits here in Toronto and in D.C. If you do Smart Selling first and then the Paper Napkin Wisdom Workshop, Model Masters the next day, it's truly exponential increase. I mean, the value that you'll get out of those 2 days is 10x or 20x what you do out of any one of them.
Well, what I told you, Gove, is I'm going to send a whole bunch of people in on the second day with their page 42. I want you to make it real so that they've got a plan to put everything into play on page 42 in their lives, right?
The focus here. I think that's where the natural synergy existed. You can take that page 42 and bring it to life, breathe life into it. And sometimes it gets really distracting, right? You've got page 42 that's got a page full of ideas, but in what order do you go after them? What do you go for first? Well, that's what the Model of the Masters workshop's about, putting them in order, building it around structure, putting them into the steps, and then building a system around that that enables you to move forward like never before on your goals.
Great conversation. Thanks for that, Jack. And if you want to get more information about the Model of the Masters Taking Action workshop, you can find it both at jackdaly.net, or alternatively, you can get some information off papernapkinwisdom.com. I'd love to hear what you thought about the five steps, plus the bonus prize, and everything else that goes along with it. Become part of the conversation. Again, log in to papernapkinwisdom.com or find us on social media. Just follow along at WiseNapkin on Twitter or search Paper Napkin Wisdom on Facebook. My name is Govind Jayaraman. This was Paper Napkin Wisdom. Thanks for listening. Make it a great day.